Gucci. Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, it is the Mike Missanelli Show. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I got a couple big subjects to talk about today. And this is when we'll start the big Dallas Eagles conversation, because I'm going to talk directly to the Cowboy fans here. Because you guys are on a very slippery slope. I started to think about this today. You know, you're feeling good about yourself. God forbid that you lose this game on Sunday. And I think the Eagles are actually going to win the game. Like, I have that kind of a feeling. And so you've come out of the closet now, and you're all celebrating, and all of a sudden you're going to get smacked down again like whack-a-mole. Well, I can't wait for this to happen. I really can't. And I want to address you folks today with that in mind. I want you to get all your nonsense out today. You know, all your puffery, sticking out your chest, all this kind of stuff. You can do that today. But, God, are you on a slippery slope? God forbid if you lose in Dallas at Monday and I'm calling all you out. All right, that's a side note. The big note we have to talk about is last night. There are two schools of thought here. One is you don't overreact to a loss in December. I've heard that school of thought talked about today on the radio station. The other school of thought is the one I have. They're not as good as Toronto. I put that out on Twitter last night, and people go, "What are you, Mike, what are you talking about? If Joel has this kind of a game, and Ben has this kind of a game, and the referees call it the right way, and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah." They're not as deep right now, and not as good as Toronto. I'm looking at the game last night. Here's an encapsulized version of how they're not good as Toronto last night. Toronto, when their two guys were off the bench, Kawhi Leonard's off the floor, and Kyle Lowry's off the floor, and they upped the lead. Well, why do they do that? Because they've got a bench and athletic guys that can sustain it. The Sixers don't. They got off to a really good start last night. Really thinking, oh, this is looking good. All of a sudden, he's got to pull guys out of the game. Now, I don't know why he pulls them out so quickly. It seems to me that he's got some guys on a roll and he pulls them out. But his first substitution, Tyrone, I texted you. I go, this is the difference between these two teams. The first substitution, he puts a wholesale hockey line substitution in there, takes three guys out, and puts in the following. TJ, Shamit, and Muscala. That's his first substitution. Those three guys are now on the floor in a hockey line change. How are you going to sustain anything? They're short. The Sixers are short. And we can talk about Joel Embiid coming up small and Ben Simmons coming up small. And I say small because that was really a small. It was more than small. It was a small. I get it. Ben Simmons did not play well last night. Joel Embiid looks tired to me. And you might have to, he's playing like among the most minutes in the league right now. You may have to sit him a game. He may need that refresher game where he sits out and you take an L. They don't have an adequate backup for him. He's got to play a lot of minutes. He's tired. You could tell last night he was sluggish and tired. He may have hit that wall in the season where his legs aren't as spry as they were early in the season. You got to take advantage of that. You got to take care of that. Now, last night, that to me was a measuring stick game. That's a game that you really have to show better than what you did. You wilted down the stretch. You turned the ball over. And to me, that's an indicator of how good you are. Yeah, it's a game in December. But if you're going to put those teams side by side now, can you make the case the Sixers are as good as Toronto? Because what you got to think about is whether you can beat Toronto four games in a series. Forget one game. You might be able to beat them at home at the Wells Fargo Center. You got to beat that team four times when it comes to the playoffs to win the East if you get that far, if they're better than Boston. So that's what I'm looking at. Is this team capable right now of doing that? No, they're not. No, they're not. The front office needs to be a little more active. And listen, this Fultz thing set them back. I get it. Without Fultz contributing, they don't have a backup point guard that's worth anything. So when they take Ben out of the game, the drop-off is significant athletically. I know you'll love T.J. McConnell. He's playing too many minutes. And when you got to play Furkan Korkmaz early in a game, your bench isn't good enough. Tyrone, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
No, you're absolutely right. And you're not overreacting, because what you didn't say was like some, and we're going to get callers that say Embiid's soft now and all this other stuff. But you're absolutely right about the rosters. Toronto's team is significantly better right now than the Sixers. And in a seven-game series, they would lose in five. That's what would happen. Similar to Boston. Now, maybe they play Boston on Christmas. Maybe they're the two seed right now. They play Milwaukee again with Butler. But as of right now, if the goal is to make the finals, Toronto, no doubt about it, is a much better team.
And the reason why they're a much better team is because they have a brilliant point guard who orchestrates things without a flaw. This guy, Kyle Lowry, is as tough as they come. He's got his face in almost every play. He disrupted everything the Sixers tried. Everywhere you turn, Kyle Lowry was in the middle of it. He gets people involved, and you got a superstar like Kawhi Leonard who never fails to deliver. Never does the guy fail to deliver when he's on the floor. So there you go. You saw what Toronto was. You saw what the Sixers are. If you're going to make the case that this was a flimsy victory, that if Embiid had played a little better, if Simmons had played a little better, they'd win the game. They're not as deep as the Raptors. They're just not. And I'm saying this with pain in my voice here because I wanted that game to really show me something. Butler played great last night. I get it. They don't have enough to beat a high-level team in a series right now. And listen, the Ben Simmons thing, we can bitch and moan all we want about him not shooting the ball. It is what it is. So they have to overcome things like that. They have to overcome the fact that Ben Simmons, while he dominates the floor in so many ways, is not going to make jump shots. That's why you need a bench. That's why, because guys have to pick up the deficiencies in other areas of your team. And they don't have that right now. And the more I think of Ben Simmons, the more I don't think it's going to improve. I got to be honest with you. He may be one of these players that could dominate, and I'm okay with it, I guess. I'm going to have to be okay with it because he's so spectacular in other areas that I don't got to suck it up. But the longer this goes on, you think he's more inclined to take shots? If he's not taking shots right now, that's like an epidemic that's seizing him. Again, it's back to like, if you can avoid dancing at a wedding, you do it. You don't get better as a dancer later on. You avoid it more. Ben's going to avoid it more as he gets older. He's not going to suddenly wake up and say, I'm going to take some shots. Now's the time for him to take shots. He's a guy, I've read this to the tea leaves on this now, psychologically. I know what this is all about. He's a guy that has been so spectacularly excellent in dominating a basketball game that he doesn't want to do anything that detracts from that. And he knows if he shoots the ball, people are going to say, oh, look at that. That's ugly. He doesn't want anybody to detract from it. So he's more comfortable not shooting the ball than risk being criticized for shooting the ball awkwardly. That's what it is. And I don't know how you fix that. All right, we'll talk about it. I've got some facts and figures with the Cowboys and the Eagles so you can extrapolate some data. We're going to have Hembo on to give us five thoughts, five statistical analysis of this game and what can happen. And you Dallas Cowboy fans, come on, because I'm going to love this. I'm setting you up today. I have a love for you to call today and brag about your team, knowing that you're 3 days away from falling off the cliff. Set yourself up for the big fall. I would love it, because I think the Eagles are actually going to win. I'm more worried about the Houston game than I'm worried about this game. 610-632-0975. Elton Brand, make some phone calls, brother, because you need significant players, at least one, maybe even two, for this team if you want to contend to win the East. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. And our stats ace from the ESPN show, Get Up. He hails from Westchester, PA. His name is Paul Hembokidis. The great Hembo joins us. Hembo, how you doing today?
Like you missed. We got two for the price of one this week.
Oh, wait, you got me an Embiid stat for me?
Yeah, I did dig this up. You know, I'm all over the place today. But he was, as you mentioned, he was minus 23 last night. Yes. Tied for the worst plus minus of any game in his career, regular or postseason. He was objectively disgusting. It was awful to watch. And I was hearing from my buddies back home watching the game yesterday, and he probably had his worst game of the season, maybe of his whole career.
Yes, it was horrendous. And Simmons turned the ball over. They're not of Toronto's caliber, Hembo.
No, they're not. Our model right now would give them about a 1 in 5 chance to beat the Raptors in a playoff series. They got a long way to go.
Oh, my. All right, let's talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys. Now, I look at this game, and the obvious thing is you got to stop Zeke Elliott. You have to get him on third and long where there may, you know, Dak may be susceptible to turning the ball over, fumble, whatever. But talk about this running attack that the Cowboys have had recently.
So they've outrushed their opponents by 252 yards during their four-game win streak, beginning with that Week 10 game at the Link, of course. And in that game against the Birds, Ezekiel Elliott rushed 11 times for 108 yards on attempts to the left of his center. But keep in mind, left tackle Tyron Smith played in that game. He's missed the last two and hasn't practiced in full since November 16th.
Wow. Okay, so will he play?
Well, he's limited in practice yesterday, somewhat limited today. Even if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. That was a major advantage for them in that ball game. If he's not available to play or is not close to 100%, the Eagles, that's going to make a huge difference for the Birds, who just couldn't stop him
I mentioned the third down situation. Yeah. Third and long, I think he got him. Third and short, they've been really good since Amari Cooper has come aboard.
They have. I got a number for you. The addition of Cooper has transformed the Cowboys' third down offense into one of the league's best. Their conversion rate of 32% through week 7 ranked 30th in the NFL. But since trading for Cooper, Dallas ranks third at 49%, thanks in part to almost instant chemistry between he and Dak. Prescott has completed 9 of 11 attempts to Cooper on third down during their four-game win streak, 7 of those going for firsts.
Yeah, I'm
going
to trump your stat with this
one.
Dallas has 29 pass plays with 20-plus yards. That's 30th in the NFL. And in the last 5 weeks since the Cooper trade, they've only moved up to 26.
Mm.
So they're not throwing the ball to him long, but they are converting.
No, he's essentially serving as, like, they have no productivity at all from their tight end. They're using him in those short down and distance, and he just has ridiculous yards after the catch opportunity. That's what would really concern me in this game.
Okay, and also the Cowboys averaging 3 minutes and 5 seconds time of possession per drive, which ranks second in the NFL. So that Zeke Elliott thing is definitely vital. All right, let's look at the situation as far as the Eagles' offense is concerned and pass blocking DeMarcus Lawrence in this game. Big Lane Johnson, DeMarcus Lawrence, mano a mano.
That's a matchup to watch here. In Week 10, Lawrence generated 6 quarterback pressures according to NFL Next Gen stats. That's tied for most by any Cowboys player in any game all season. Now, keep in mind, Vitae started at right tackle in the absence of Lane Johnson in that game, and he only sustained 54% of his pass blocks within 2.5 seconds. On the season, Lane Johnson is at 83% in that metric, so conventional wisdom would suggest that the Eagles are much likelier to contain Lawrence this time around.
Okay. Now, you always get to the betting nugget.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this one, man. So lay it on us here. The Eagles in a situation where sweeping a series is impossible. Almost.
not impossible, but certainly unlikely. I always like to uncover a betting nugget, as you said, to help the degenerates. In doing so this week, this is a really encouraging trend for the Birds. In the last 14 head-to-head meetings between the Eagles and the Cowboys, the away team has covered the number Mikey missed in 11 of them. And sweeping the season series is no easy matter, as you said. These teams have split in 8 of the last 11 seasons and in every year since 2012.
Yeah, that's why I give them a really good chance to win this game. That split factor. And the stat that you are, you know, I'd like to see the straight out, outright win instead of the cover, but I get it.
Yeah, these things seesaw.
Yeah, all right. Now, let's look here at the Eagles and their quest to make the playoffs. They have to win more than this game. And that's going to be difficult according to statistics, correct?
Yeah, reaching the playoffs is by no means out of the question for the Birds, both the division or the wild card, but it is important to contextualize the challenges that lie ahead. Their future opponents own a combined record of 33-15. That is the most difficult remaining schedule in the NFL by that measure. Further, the Eagles are the only team with 3 current division leaders remaining on their schedule, Mikey Miss, and they get them in each of their next 3 games.
Listen, I've written a Rams game off.
Yeah,
this is a must-win game. Rams, Houston is vying for that number one, number two seed. That's going to be really tough for them to win.
Agreed. If you have to pick up two of the next three, because theoretically the Redskins will be a dead team walking. But keep in mind, we get the Vikings and the Seahawks on Monday night. Those teams right now are 5-6, and the wild card is not out of the question for the Eagles either. We've sort of thrown that away all season, but the Panthers have come back to the pack. That's still within the realm of possibility also.
Gotcha. Hembo, great stuff. We'll talk to you.
You're a good man.
There he is. That's the Hembo from Get Up. Oh, it's 4 o'clock hour. Big 4 o'clock hour. Mike Mussinelli's show brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Oh, I tell you what, there are some desperate people out there for this week. Fantasy football knowledge, and we got the right guy for it. Eric Carabrell is brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family and Company Jewelers your first stop. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Eric, how you doing?
I'm great, Mike. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Today?
Let's talk Eagles Cowboys right out of the chute here. Who do you like in this particular game here? Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Zach Ertz. Who are you going with here?
Well, Zach Ertz, obviously, on a pace to break the record for most catches. He's the number one tight end, having a great season. He, to me, is the only Eagle you have to play in this game. Dallas has been very good defensively this season. They're in the top 10 in suppressing fantasy points to quarterbacks and running backs, and they're number one against wide receivers. The only position you can exploit them is basically tight end. So I don't think Wentz is a top 10 quarterback this week. Either receivers are top 20. It's basically Zach Ertz. Don't trust the defense either. On the Dallas side, I wouldn't play Dak Prescott either. Amari Cooper has become a top 20 wide receiver. He should be able to exploit the Eagles' secondary. And that's about it. I mean, obviously, Ezekiel Elliott. But
yeah, where is Zeke on your board for this week?
He should be able to go wild. I mean, he went wild the last time they played. I have him as the number three running back. He catches passes. He scores touchdowns. He's their best player, other than that middle linebacker who's going to, you know. They have a good team now. They didn't when they played in Philly a month ago, but by losing that game, the Eagles let them win the division.
Puts the Eagle fans in a precarious spot for fantasy if they have to play Zeke Elliott, right? You put him in your lineup.
I didn't want to draft him in any league, but he's a great player. He's a top three player in fantasy right now.
All right, let's look at any other games interest you, any particular matchups where you're looking at a quarterback or a running back that sticks out to you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a week where obviously there's some new running backs that people need to know. Spencer Ware played last week at Kansas City. He's the new starter there. Jalen Samuels of Pittsburgh is the starter against Oakland because Connor is out. And San Francisco is going with a guy named Jeff Wilson. You can not only pick up these guys, you should put them in your lineups this week. These are top 20 running backs because their teams run the ball well. They have nice matchups. Use these guys. Use them over running backs who don't do a whole lot on a week-to-week basis. Use them over Adrian Peterson. Use them over Kerryon Johnson if he plays. Don't play LeSean McCoy anymore or Tevin Coleman. These new guys are better.
All right, so these new guys are motivated. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, let's go to the people. I'm gonna start off in Alaska and come east. All right, this is Mark from Alaska. Big Ben against Oakland or Jared Goff at Chicago?
Ben, it's a better matchup. The Bears are very good defensively. I would trust Roethlisberger here.
All right, now we got a guy. His name's Gandhi. I swear to God, Gandhi checks in with I need three running backs: Gurley at the Bears, Chubb at the Panthers, Jalen Samuels at the Raiders, Jeff Wilson at the Broncos, Gus Edwards at Kansas City, Adrian Peterson against the Giants. He needs three of those.
Any others? I mean, Gurley's the number one guy. I mean, he plays every week. Chubb is definitely number two here. The other three, I mean, I wouldn't play Peterson this week. I mean, we're not with Mark Sanchez, a quarterback. I think Samuels is a pretty good option this week. He catches passes as well. A terrible opponent. I would go Samuels among those guys he just picked, though.
All right, Michael Lopez is desperate. He's in his playoffs. He needs to pick one, three, Cohen, Dalvin Cook, Mark Ingram.
It's probably Dalvin Cook at this point. I mean, Cohen had a great game last week, but only in the fourth quarter and overtime. I think Cook is still the main option here.
All right. Michael Ryla says, all right, standard scoring league, pick two. Gus Edwards, Jeff Wilson, Spencer Ware, Sony Michel.
Yeah, all these new names, and people don't know what to do. If it's not a PPR, Sony Michel is the number one guy here, and Gus Edwards is second. These are guys that can gain 100 yards, but they don't catch any passes at all in a non-PPR. Go with them.
All right, Julian, Pat Mahomes or Drew Brees? Ooh.
I have Mahomes 1 and Breeze 2. So I guess you could flip a coin. Can't go wrong.
Okay, let's go to Twitter. Playoff time for Jerome. Who do I start? Mariota or Mullins?
Oh, my. I don't like either one of them. In fact, I don't have either in my top 20 right now. You got to do better than that. I mean, even Case Keenum is better this week, or Josh Allen. If you have to choose, it's not Mariota, not against Jacksonville.
All right, Christian, I have to start one of three wide receivers. Tate, DJ Moore, Demaryius Thomas.
I think it's DJ Moore, Carolina, actually. I do think the matchup is right. He's their number one option now out of the bat, except for their running back, of course. I think I do not go with Golden Tate against Dallas. I don't.
All right. Sean needs one in his flex among Gus Johnson, Spencer Ware, T.Y. Hilton.
I would say it's either Ware or Hilton there. I mean, if you can use either one, I'd probably go with Ware. I mean, he's going to get plenty of touches at least. And T.Y. Hilton against another tough defense in Houston on the road, too.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Alex and Fox Chase, you're on with Eric Carabel. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, I need to pick two PPR league. Lamar Miller, David Johnson, or Kamara?
Well, Kamara's first. You about buried the lead a little there. Kamara's first and David Johnson second. I know Miller's run well, but I can't fit David Johnson.
I did mess that up. I have Spencer Ware as well. I'm sorry. It was in addition to Kamara. Ware, Miller, or Johnson?
It's Kamara and Johnson.
All right, there you go. RJ on Twitter. Austin Eckler, Mark Ingram, or Sony Michel. Interesting there.
It is interesting.
That's a PPR flex, by the way.
In a PPR, I mean, Eckler is the option there. I don't think Melvin Gordon is playing. It's still up in the air a little bit. But if Melvin Gordon doesn't play, I'd go Eckler over Ingram.
All right, non-PPR flex, Alshon, Doug Martin, or Corey Davis?
Well, I mean, you can't go with Jeffrey. I mean, Dallas does a great job against wide receivers. I would say it's Corey Davis, even though I can't stand the matchup tonight.
Jim needs a waiver wire wide receiver since he lost A.J. Green for the season. Can you help him out?
Waiver wire wide receivers. Adam Humphrey, Tampa Bay, is the number 9 PPR wide receiver over the past 5 weeks, and ESPN leagues is still available in about half. He's facing New Orleans, a terrible pass defense. Humphrey is there. Cortland Sutton of Denver, because they just lost Emmanuel Sanders, is there in a lot of leagues. Those two jump right out to me. Chris Godwin, Calvin Ridley, Josh Reynolds of the Rams, but Zay Jones a little bit. But I would say Humphreys and Sutton.
All right, Robin Bordentown. Rob, you're on with Eric Carabel.
Hey, guys. I need 2 of 4 in a non-PPR league. It's either Sony Michel, Spencer Ware, Josh Adams, or Lamar Miller.
I think the first one is Sony Michel in a non-PPR, and I would still go Ware second there.
All right, you got it. Scott Malvern. Scott, you're all there, Carabel.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, I need to pick 2 in a PPR league. I got Eckler, Humphreys, and Landry.
Interesting. Eckler would be first, like him the most. I would go Humphreys over Landry at this point. I mean, every week he's scoring a touchdown.
All right, there we go. All right, we'll close it down with 2 Twitter inquiries. Paul says, Josh Gordon, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton in a 1-point PPR.
I think it's Josh Gordon still.
All right. And Michael lost A.J. Green also, so he needs to start 2 wide receiver among Landry, Pettis, Reynolds, Godwin, or Sutton.
I would say Landry and Sutton be my first 2
all
there.
All right. You got it. Eric, I always ask you, how you feeling about the big matchup?
Not feeling good.
You're not feeling
not
good?
I'm glad it's at least relevant, but you can't put money on the Eagles in this game. I can't.
Ooh. I kind of like the Eagles in this game.
What's the line they can cover?
3.5.
Oh, man. I can't believe the line is that low.
It's low. It tells you a little something.
It tells me more than I should. I thought it was more like 5 or 6.
No. 3.5.
At 3.5, okay, I'll take him there.
Yeah, I'm twisting your arm. Yeah.
Well, you know, come on. I mean, this is going to be tough for them to score a lot of points in this
turncoat
game.
All right,
yeah,
man.
Really?
Hey, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. All right, there he is. Eric Carabel, brought to us by Family & Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family & Company Jewelers your first stop. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Elkin Chevrolet on Route 73 in Marlton. Come see over 60 Chevrolet Silverados in stock and find new roads at Elkin Chevrolet.
Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. That's how you get to the Sound Off line if you got something to say. Like, you're watching the Sixers game, and in the middle of the game, you had something to say. But by the end of the game, you had something different to say. Just hit us up on that line, leave us two messages, and we'll decide which one we want to play. Let's see what we got.
There's no question that Ben Simmons is a great basketball player. Why isn't he playing like a great basketball player? He was a mess the last few games.
I don't know about the last few games. Last night he wasn't great, and he turned the ball over. He's got to really be... Listen, turning the ball over is just being smart, and he's smart enough to not turn the ball over that many times. He's just sometimes just too careless.
The reason it's important for the Eagles to get in the playoffs this year is because of Carson Wentz. If they don't get him this year, he'll have another year without a playoff game. He still has not played in the playoffs. It is so important for them to get in.
I can see that, I guess. You want to give him a little experience? Maybe he wins that first game? Yeah, that's cool.
I love Ben Simmons just like the next guy, Mike. But you said it before. He's not going to shoot it. You got to put him at the four. What good is a point guard who only plays well against the bottom-tier team?
Yeah, again, I said that when they had Fultz on the team, and Fultz was doing a decent job handling the ball. You can't play T.J. McConnell as your starting one. Can't.
You have a great show, you have a great crew, but you really need to change the Sound Off situation with Martinez still answering the phone. And at the beginning of it, with that dope number five talking, please change it for me.
Martinez answering the phone, what is he talking about?
This one is hard to fix because I don't know who's in charge of it. When you call the number, his voice, because he has
really?
Good, yeah, he has a good, but it wasn't because he worked on your show. Jason has a great voice.
Yeah, he's like a voiceover dude.
Yeah. So he has the clear radio voice to say, leave your message at the beep. That's not going to change.
But we did start it when he was the producer, so I can see where people get the wrong idea.
Yeah, but that's not why he's still on it. But the Sound Off thing, there is a new one, but people are working on it, but it has to be approved. We're not just going to switch to something we don't like.
Okay.
No, it's actually been redone. New open and close, but it's just not as good.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, Camden, this is Philly. Calling to see if you'd like to make a trade. We'll give you one NBA franchise, but we want you to pay us all their work. Two cans of chicken noodle soup and a cream of broccoli ought to do it.
What? What the hell was that?
So... He was saying that he'll move the Sixers to Camden in exchange for what the team is worth. So that is only two cans of soup. Hear how funny that is?
They're not worth two cans of soup. They're come on, man. You're not even in the ballpark with that. You know, you can get close at least.
Come on.
Well, here we go again. Eagles and Cowboys for the series, for the division, for the whole shebang. Did I mention that us Cowboys, we have won 5 Lombardi trophies?
This guy calls every week with that same thing. I think he's either mocking a Cowboy. I think he's mocking a Cowboy fan, isn't he? Or is he a Cowboy fan that's just trying to be a smart ass?
Apparently, Pat Egan, who did it, apparently knows the guy's voice. He's a real Cowboys fan and just doesn't really have much of a sense of humor.
Oh. So he thinks that's funny. Like
awesome.
The fake cowboy accent, which is like really terrible.
He's called Riled Up. With the same, this is what he does. This is all he's got.
Some people have a lot of time on their hands.
Michael, I just heard some moron call out saying, you got to trade Ben Simmons. Are these people going to get hit in the eggnog already? Is it probably the same guy that wants to trade Carson Wentz? You don't need to trade Ben Simmons, but somebody got to get in his head and straighten him out. Take the shot, Ben. Take the shot.
Well, that's the thing. That's a Philadelphia thing. Fire the coach, trade the guy. Like, that's the knee-jerk reaction when something bad happens. So I'm used to it.
Can we play a freaking playoff game last night? I mean, look, I know Embiid did not come up big. He came up small. He was 5 for 17. He looked like he had dead legs. He looked tired. You know, Ben, when Embiid's not scoring and Ben doesn't have his jump shot, doesn't have a jump shot, they're not letting Ben drive. They play good defense, and they shut them guys down. That shouldn't happen. But my God, one game, people, take a breath.
No, it's more than one game, and it's not taking a breath. It's, can this team with that kind of a bench beat that team four games? Forget the one game. You got to look like you got to look beyond the one game and look in a playoff situation with the way the Sixers are configured now. With that kind of bench, they're going to beat that team four times? All right,
Michael, I completely agree. You need the legit stretch four. You need a legit four for this team. This team needs probably two or three pieces to contend. But here's what I saw last night. Even if you get those pieces, this offense that Brett Brown runs is not going to get it done. I think this team needs a big-time NBA coach to come in here, challenge Ben Simmons to shoot the ball, and we'll take it from there.
Well, listen, you might be right. And I think Brett Brown needs the only he's got the JJ coming off screen offense. To me, when you have a center like that, you're going to have to work a half-court offense inside now. I mean, it's really simple. I know it's difficult for him to get on the block every play and run 94 feet, get in that position, and then come back down and defend the other position. But that's the way you're going to have to run that's got to be the staple of your half-court offense.
Two things have to happen this weekend in order to give the Eagles the best chance to make it to the playoffs. First thing is the Eagles have to beat the Cowboys. The second thing is the Houston Texans have to win at home against Indy. If the Houston Texans beat Indy, their remaining schedule is at the Jets, at Philly, and then home against the Jaguars. Out of those three games, which game do the Houston Texans have the biggest chance of losing at Philly? Because there is no chance that team is going to win 13 games in a row.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it. I think the Colts are going to win. The Colts have a bigger incentive to win this game. I think they're going to snap that streak. So I think that if that happens in your series, that's a winner. But it's not a bad theory. All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by Elkin Chevrolet on Route 73 in Marlton. Come see over 60 Chevrolet Silverados in stock and find new roads at Elkin Chevrolet.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What is it?
Because I don't like
them. Bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.